This is an ABC podcast.
Be part of Roots and Shoots After Nine. Only on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
And welcome to the April 4th edition of Roots and Shoots. My name is Sabrina Hahn and I'm joined by...
Amber Hunningham. Amber Huggingham.
Huggingham, yeah, there's been a bit of hugging going on.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it is Easter and I think there's a little reminder that we all need to be kind to each other.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I think there's nothing better than a bosomy hug from a woman in her 60s.
And speaking of bosoms, people were talking about what they stick down their bra. Oh, I meant to hit Ash up for what it was that she wouldn't say on public. I'll find that out later on. Or shall we share it now?
I know what it was, but no, I am not going to. She knows enough about me to take me out, Sap.
I put baby birds down there to keep them warm. The worst part is when you put your credit card down there and then it moves.
It's a bit
sweaty. No, it moves.
Okay, you get a square nipple.
Well, no, you have to furridge around when you're at the supermarket to try and retrieve it to pull it out.
See, all of this is because they don't put pockets in women's clothing.
I know. Yeah. It's appalling.
It's
what else have I shoved down there? You know, when your hands are full, you just got to make use of what you've got.
What if you didn't have your ABC fanny pack?
Yeah, that's right. Thank heavens we have that.
1300 221025 is the number. If
you wouldn't
like
put fencing down there, no barbed wire fencing stuck down your bra.
If you've got a question,
retick parts. I've had lots of retick parts. You know, joiners and sprinklers and stuff. When you're fixing up your you just pop it in the little pockets up the top there.
Oh, Sally's texted in and she says, "Hi, Amber, you're in my pocket today and making painting prep a lot less tedious. Happy Easter to you too, Sally."
Sally doesn't need an aerial.
Are you the original bra that I met at Rottnest, Sally? Anyway, that sounded weird, didn't it? No, I met Sally at Rottnest and she told me that she keeps me in her bra so she can just walk around the house to. And I said, that's the kind of dedication that I like to see. So
hence
we kind of talk about it. Men, it's secret women's business and the men are probably all not coping.
Well, I tell you what, fellas, don't think that you can shove all the bits that we shove in our bra in your undies.
No, you can't because they've got pockets.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they do. They have pockets and, you know.
Well, they've got cargo pants with lots of pockets.
Yeah.
1300 221025 if
socks.
You have a question for Sab.
You can shove stuff in your socks, not baby birds, though.
No.
What have we got on? What's happening? Look, no one's ringing in. What's wrong?
Don't say that out loud. You destroyed the magic.
I did that once and there were no phone calls for 15 minutes. And they're up now. And it turned out that there was a problem that we couldn't get any calls. That's why these days I mention it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're braver than me, Gunga Din. Carly from Padbury says she's got weeds in her veggie patch. She's going to call in, so I'll hold that.
Cool.
Charlotte says, would a water gum? How do you say that? Tristaniopsis?
Tristaniopsis.
Tristaniopsis. Make a good shade tree for dwelling up.
Yeah, I
full
love
sun,
them.
Open
they
position.
Are a beautiful tree, Tristaniopsis. Gosh. They have gorgeous umbels of white flowers. They have a beautiful shape, lovely canopy. Beautiful tree. People should plant more of them.
Hard, yes. Now, back to the bras.
Yes, to the bras.
Ash, do not delete the thing. She's going to delete. Oh. She says she rescued a baby roo and kept it
here
in
we
her
are.
Bra. Just
from
a
pouch on the rand.
On the road.
Kept it down there to keep it warm. See, this is why you put the baby birds down your bra as well. They have to be. So, don't put something like an eagle down there. You've got to be, you know.
Raptors.
No raptors. Nothing with
no
really.
Gall wasps.
I wouldn't put invertebrates down there. No invertebrates. Right. Now, Carly's sent in a picture of, oh, my goodness. So she's got the four-bed veggie patch. And Carly, I'd have to say either from where I'm sitting, you've sown, weeds deliberately.
Carly's on the line now. She's laughing. I know.
Or Carly, have you put in rocket and it's self-seeded?
Well, this happened about 3 years ago, and I had some older compost that I'd some pea straw mulch that I'd kind of left out for a couple of months. So I don't know if it collected a whole bunch of seeds, but for the last 3 years, once it gets to autumn, I have an absolute weed party. Mm. Takes about 40 hours to hand weed, and invariably there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes to seed before I get to it.
Yep.
This year I want to break the cycle. I want to get on top of it. So definitely. I'm just wondering how I might do that, Sabrina.
I'd smother it. So I'd solarize it. So what you need to do is go and get some clear plastic. We've still got warm days. Like, we're still in our mid-20s. So not black plastic, clear plastic.
Okay. Yep.
Completely cover those beds. Weigh the plastic down with bricks or something that so that the air pockets can't get up underneath. So on a 25 degree day, you will actually burn all that and then stop the weed, the seeds, because you'll have a seed burden. So solarizing, even though it's best to do that midsummer because it just sizzles the hell out of it. So do that for 2 weeks and then get coir matting. It's made from cocoa fiber. You lay that down because you can stab holes in that and plant individual seedlings in, but the coir matting will break down after 6 months, and then you're laughing.
Great. Now, that photo I sent, that's historical. That's from about July.
Okay.
At the moment, I don't have any weeds growing up yet.
Okay.
So I've got millions of seeds. So what stage do you think I should lay down that clear plastic?
I would do it now because of the rain we've had. Those seeds are going to germinate.
Yeah.
So I'd do it now. And then buy your rolls of the coir matting. Mm-hmm. Be ready to put that on. As soon as you take the plastic off, you're going to lay that down.
Okay. Thanks, Sabrina.
My pleasure, Carly.
Thank you, Carly. Ben is in Marmion with Banksia and Acacia issues.
It's
good morning, Ben.
Hello, Ben.
Morning, ladies. Yeah, I just wanted to get some advice on a Banksia and Acacia species to plant in a backyard in Marmion. It's pretty protected and out of the wind, but wanting to try and bring birds and things in.
Yep.
I was advised Seligna, I think, but
that's a big acacia.
Go a bit crazy.
Yeah. I would put in something like Acacia littorea, which is the sawtooth acacia, really fantastic coastal acacia.
Yep.
Acacia glaucoptera. Acacia sterling silver.
Yep.
And in terms of Banksia, Banksia prionotes is a really good coastal Banksia. So you can get prionotes in dwarf as well. You can
How
get.
How big would the dwarf grow to?
It only gets to 2 meters.
Yeah, right.
Is that big enough? Or do you want bigger? Yeah, just go for the ordinary prionotes. There's Banksia attenuata.
Yep.
And you can also get that in a dwarf form.
Yeah, right. Cool.
And, Ben, just in saying that, the Perth Garden Show is back. Now, they are going to have the biggest selection of native plants, which you will be able to get in rootstock. So that starts on the 17th of April right through to the 19th of April. There are going to be so many native plant nurseries there. You would be spoilt for choice.
Oh, perfect.
So all if you can, if you want to wait until then, there'll be all the native nurseries there.
Ben, thanks for calling in. Good on you.
Thank you.
Good luck. Bye. Now, this person, unnamed, I wish they had a name on it because it's a delightful story, says, morning, ladies, back in the 30s or thereabouts, my grandma brought back several chickens in her bra top from Midland to Collie on the train.
I love aren't they? This is what people are going to have to do with a, you know, we'll all be getting the train, which we should all try and do anyway, and ride bikes and stuff if we're not going to have fuel. You know, when I think about my children's generation, they never actually had to go without much, whereas in my generation, when you if you lived in the country and you didn't have water, you didn't have water or power or anything like that. So what I want to say to people is just because you have to do without, it's not such a bad thing. You just find other ways of doing things.
Put a chicken in your bra and sit down.
Make sure it's a smaller one though, because don't put ducks.
Small chicken.
They have those really runny poos, ducks. Yeah, no. You don't want
chicken
a chicken.
Poo's not great either. Beth says, when I played the bagpipes, I put the reed in between my breasts to keep it warm and moist.
That probably goes for all the reed instruments as well. You know how they, you can't have them drying out in between
playing. That's right.
Playing.
No, because it'll stick to your lip.
Yeah.
And Tom in Bangkok, thank you for listening in Bangkok. Tom says, no pockets in my Reg Grundies. I mean, you know, we've just like straight up lowered the tone. Stew, Karen.
Do you know what, Stew, though? For the uncomfortablenessness that women have to have of wearing a bloody bra in the first place, we've actually gone, well, you know what? We're going to make this a very useful instrument on our body. So it's a good idea, isn't it, Stu? Shove whatever you can down your bra. What do you reckon?
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Excellent. What can we do for you, Stu? Because you're with us now. You're one of us.
Oh, terrific. I've always been a resistor and haven't been interested in the garden, but I started listening to your show over the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And I want to try and juice up the front of my garden for my wife. This is project number 3.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my good friend Adam yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're hoping, and this is my question, can I relocate an ornamental pear tree that's about 2.5 metres high that's in my grass? Can I relocate that to the garden bed and shush it up? And if I can, what do I need to do?
Easy peasy lemon squeezy, Stew. No worries at all on relocating that ornamental pear. Okay, so you need a long-handled spade for a start because you're going to have to dig down fairly deep to get as much root system as you can. Can you leave doing that until June or not?
Yeah, well, I go for Carlton and they're not going to...
Excellent reply. Okay, so come out 50 centimetres from the trunk of the tree in a circle. Dig a trench around there first and then soak the area with water, with wetting agent and water. Make the trench about 10 centimetres deep, 10 centimetres wide. You're going to do that 2 weeks before you do your actual digging because you want to get it ready for having some of those roots severed. Then when you dig it up, so if it's dormant, it's better and it won't go into transplant shock, you will need to go down, if you can go down 800 mil, not 800 metres. So if you can dig down, you know, 80 centimetres to a metre, even better, have the hole already prepped. So dig the hole that you think is going to be the same size of the tree you're digging out. Load it up with compost and sheep poo and wetting agent and biochar and minerals, as in, you know, slow-release fertilizer. And then the mix that you're going to fill in the hole with will be 50% of the sand you've dug out mixed with the compost and cow poo. 50-50.
Can I put some of that in there?
Oh, I would love it, Stu. Would love it.
Okay.
Mm. And Stu, good on you for looking after your wife.
And thanks for being a convert. We need, you know, the Roots and Shoots army out there. Thanks, mate.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day.
You
Thanks,
too.
Thanks, Stu.
Now, where are we going next? We are going
to... Let's go to Donnybrook.
Let's go to Donnybrook, where Robin is. Hi, Robin.
Hi, ladies. I think you might have just answered my question, Sabrina, when talking to Stu.
Yeah.
I've got a friend with three fruit trees in Perth, an apple, a plum, and an apricot.
Yep.
And she wants to replace them with natives, and I thought I could give them a home down here.
Perfect.
My question was, do I wait until they are totally dormant to move them, or do I do it now when there's a bit of warmth for them to get a bit of a start?
I'd do it now.
Do it now? Okay,
yep.
Brilliant.
That's yep.
Great. Don't let my friend get her her replacement trees in before
Before
winter.
Before okay, winter. Fantastic. Yeah. That's very thoughtful of you too, Robin.
Robin's
thinking of the other. This is the other person. This is the kind of listeners we get on Roots and Shoots. They're a very kind and caring mob.
Yeah.
Mm. Should I do the same trick with the trench? Or
yes.
No.
How long have they been in there for?
I'm not 100% sure, but I imagine 5 years or so.
Nah, you won't need to do. Nah.
Okay.
Nah. That's all good.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Robin.
Thanks, Robin. Catherine says, have you people not heard of bags or pockets?
Oh, come on. Sometimes you just don't have that.
It's like you don't have pockets in it.
You whip down to the shop and you're just taking your credit card, you just shove it in your bra because you don't have pockets. And if you put it in your bag, you can't find it.
Yeah, exactly. Ginny in Wagen says, on chickens in bras, my beautiful Auntie Pat kept eggs warm in her bra at the drag racing once. She's never lived it down. What's it called when chickens are sitting on their...
When they're broody?
No, the...
When they're laying, you
No,
mean?
When they're... You get a machine if you don't have a broody hen.
Oh,
it's called...
Incubator.
That's it. Mm. Incubator. Auntie Pat was an incubator.
I love this.
I can think of a better use for a boob.
We could start at we could write a book on 101 uses for a bra.
101 things to put in your bra.
I used to put my pumpkins and watermelons in the big kahuna bras.
What when you were done with the bras?
Well, they weren't mine because they were friends because she
but
had
what,
big...
You put them on when they're in the patch or you hang them in them later?
Hang them in there. Once they start, so in their sort of juvenile form of development, because I grow mine up a fence,
off the
up
ground.
A trellis, off the ground. All pumpkins.
You come up there in the double
and
D's.
Watermelons. So, but you need to have friends. You need to have female friends with big kahunas because you need the big double D cup.
Bigger than that.
Mine would be useless, little bee cup. I mean, I'd only fit a tiny little baby pumpkin in there.
Oh, little butternut. Mem's in Applecross. Hello, Mem. What's going on with your verge?
Hello, Mem.
I've got a champagne glass, sorry.
No need to brag.
Now, this is totally unrelated to what we would be discussing about the verge. I'm going through Pandora's box. You remember Senor Wayne Hooven, the dolphin trainer?
Yeah.
He passed last year on Anzac Day when I was in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
God love him. I'm going through a box of memorabilia. I have just discovered the breakfast menu from the Queen Mary from Monday, October 28, 1940.
Oh.
Yeah, anyway, that's another story. Now,
right.
My bird, now it's the strata.
Yeah.
In Applecross.
Yeah.
And you can see the state of it.
Yeah.
It's been like that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope strata management are listening and the council of owners.
Right.
I would love to gorilla.
Oh, gorilla garden it. Yep. Okay.
Sorry.
So. Now, because of where it is, it's on the front verge and it's in full sun. So you've also got line of sight issues, Mem. So you will not be allowed to put anything more than 30 centimetres high on that. So I would suggest native ground covers. There is so much to choose from. You've got grevilleas, you've got banksias, you've got acacias, you've got hemiandra. So many things to choose from. If you put them in when they're small, then they will get established over this winter and you shouldn't have a problem with anyone else because you're not taking away that that line of sight issue when people are reversing out.
Beautiful. Thank you for that, ma'am. Gerald is in Cardinia. Good morning, Gerald.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Very well, Gerald.
Daffodil bulbs. I transplanted them last year, put them in the fridge for the last 9 months. When do I plant them? And also garlic, because I was watching the garden show last night.
Yep.
And they said they'd plant them in the end of autumn. Is that correct?
Yes. So now, your daffodil bulbs will need to be cold chilled for probably around 6 weeks. If you haven't got 6 weeks up your sleeve, then at least four.
In the fridge is last September.
Oh, Lord's a mercy. Right. Well, they've definitely had their chill factor. So I would leave it until the end of April to put them in, Gerald. Your garlic, you can put them in about 2 weeks' time because it's still quite warm. So, again, sort of mid to the end of April.
Good. And potatoes?
Potatoes you can put in now.
I can put them now. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Liz.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gerald.
Bye. Thanks, Gerald. Now, who have we got next? Charlie is in Falcon. Good morning, Charlie.
Hi.
Hello, Charlie. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. And are you enjoying the school holidays and the Easter break?
Yes, I am.
What are you doing? What are you up to?
Not much. You've been going to the city and stuff.
Oh, very cool. What did you see in the city? Did you go to the museum or?
We went to King's Park.
Oh, nice.
Do you know what, Charlie? That is my favourite place to go to in all of Perth.
It is beautiful. Charlie, what year are you in at school?
I'm in year six.
Okay, so off to high school next year. Oh, my goodness.
And what can we help you with today, Charlie?
I'm just wondering, how do I go stevia?
Oh, okay. So for people that don't know, stevia is a little perennial plant that has very sweet tasting leaves, doesn't it, Charlie?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So people are using that instead of sugar. And what will you use your stevia for, Charlie?
I like to use it in smoothie and tea.
Ah, you are such a champion. Okay, so the good thing for you, Charlie, is stevia is very easy to grow and you can buy the plant from any of the nurseries that sell herbs in pots. So you buy them in those little square squat pots. And now, they do like lots of water, Charlie. So are you going to put them in the ground or in a pot? Keep it in a pot.
I'm going to put some in the ground, but I've already got some seeds. So how do I grow it from seeds?
Oh, my goodness, you are a garden extraordinaire. Okay, so the ones that are in the ground, you need to make sure that there's plenty of water for them because they don't like to dry out. But they grow really easy from seed. So, Charlie, go and buy a square seed-raising tray and then get seed-raising mix because it has to be really friable. Then you're going to sprinkle the seed on top of the seed-raising mix. Do it now. You can do it during these holidays. And then you're going to get a little spray bottle, spray with water, and put it somewhere where it gets nice and warm but no direct sun. But outside somewhere where it's nice and warm, and you can cover it with something so it keeps the warmth in at night. So this is a really good time to germinate the seed before it gets too cold.
Okay.
And when you sprinkle the seed on, because the seed's quite fine, then just cover that seed with a little tiny bit of the seed raising mix.
There you go. Off to the shops for you, Charlie. Thank you for calling in.
Thank
you,
Charlie.
Nice to speak. Enjoy the rest of your school holidays. Bye-bye. Excuse me, I'm a bit... here we go. Now...
Oh, there's a
someone's correcting you on your use of euphemistic words. Sabrina, they're not kahunas, which is a male southerly related...
Oh, is it? Ah, they're bazookas.
Yeah, they're bazungas.
Bazungas.
Bazungas are for the kids.
I always thought a kahuna was just something that was a big hurrah thing.
Do you know what it is? It's cojones, which is spelt C-A-J-O-N-E-S, and it's Spanish.
Oh,
Cajones.
Well, Cajones.
So that's the one. You pronounce it like
Cajones.
That. Cajones is the spelling.
Yeah, Cajones.
Ooh. What are Cajones we've got here on Wikipedia? And I think I should probably move on. Let's take Guy in Mandurah
yes.
with a veggie patch.
Hello, Guy.
Overgrown. Oh, not with the cooch. Guy, how about if I turn the button on? Tell us about the cooch.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's well grown. It's in my lovely friable soil. It's got to about 6 inches thick, and it's gone mad. Because I've had to leave it for a few years and looking after. Looking after family.
Okay. All right then, guys. So you've got two options now. Cooch, I have to tell you, is probably one of the hardest weeds to kill. So don't try and dig it out because it'll keep coming back unless you dig down a meter. So there's two things you can do. You can sacrifice that area and spray it with either glyphosate or there's a herbicide that is specific to grass. It only kills grass. So if you've got other things in there, you can use that product, which has fusilade in it, and it will just kill the cooch, not anything else. But I would not use it if you're growing veggies there. Okay.
Right. I did buy some. What was called? Paving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's glyphosate. Right? Yep, yep.
No. I don't know if it was glyphosate. It wasn't glyphosate.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't the particular.
That.
It was a stronger one. It was one. It would kill weeds in paving.
Okay, all righty. So you can use that. That would be okay, but I would not be planting your veggies in there for a couple of months. After you've used that.
I was going to leave it for a year.
So the other thing, if you're going to leave it for a year, what you could do is you can solarize it, like I was saying to the last guest. Now, you have to use clear plastic. You leave it on top and you leave it there from now right through to spring so that anything that germinates, if the cooch comes back up, then it kills it, but it is more effective during the summer months. So you've got those options.
Beautiful. Thank you, Guy.
This week on Landline, how's this for dirty work?
Well, I'm doing a job that not many people like doing. It's working under a tune sheet, cleaning it out. I've been doing this for 18 years now, and yeah, I don't mind it.
Landline, Sunday, 12:30 on ABC TV and on ABC iView.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
So, Amber, special pick this week.
It is.
Because
I'm happy with this.
It's Easter.
True.
Because I think the whole world is concerned that it is being controlled basically by warmongering, delusional tyrants. And people feel that they're helpless, that humanity is going to hell in a double D cup bra cup. But
a boob basket.
A boob basket. But what I want to say to people is humans are extraordinary and we have the most extraordinary talent and imagination. And we are very special species on the planet. Now, you were asking the question at the beginning of around 8 o'clock of what makes you feel like
reverent.
You would have some reverence and feel like you have a soul.
Yes.
So I have selected this song to remind people that this will give them reverence and remind them of the beauty of the human spirit.
Behold. Imagine being young when that dropped.
Wowzers.
It just would have been on the top of the charts, wouldn't it, for the 16-year-olds going, goodness me.
How could you not feel
the human endeavour in that, yep. that God is in the room?
Absolutely. I'm so pumped now.
You are.
I could drop dead now and I'd be a happy woman.
We get to that age, don't we?
Yep.
Hi, Steve, in Yelling Up.
Hello, Steve. Did you enjoy that little segue?
I did, actually. Oh. I quite like that song.
Excellent.
That, tune, that whatever it is.
Well, it's a tune. It certainly is a tune.
What was it called? Did we even mention it?
Well, it's Vivaldi's Gloria.
There you go.
Yeah.
In Excelsis.
Yeah. Deo. Yeah. What's going on in Yelling Up?
One of the more recognisable ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on in Yelling Up, Steve? We've got some photos on the screen. You are holding something with a small bug.
Oh, you've got olives and grebs and stuff going on.
Yeah, a couple of olive
trees. Yeah, you've got...
So there's two questions.
Yeah.
There's a couple of olive trees and they look like they've got maybe a spider or a mite.
No, it's olive lace bug.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so what it does is it just sucks the sap out of your leaves.
Right.
And you will find the little bug. And the black bits are where it sucks and poos.
So, okie doke.
Yep, go on.
I also saw a little tiny spider there as well. Is that spider eating the bugs?
Now, the spider will probably be eating the bugs.
Right, well, it's not doing a good enough job.
It's not a spider with a red bum, is it?
No.
No, okay, so that's a good spider. Now, the problem is, in order to kill the lace bug, if there's spiders there, it'll kill the spiders. You need lots more spiders.
How do you encourage spiders to your garden?
You don't spray. You do not spray. Spiders are really susceptible to any of those sprays, whether it's botanical oil sprays or whatever. You don't spray. Like I can go anywhere in my garden, anywhere, and I will find spiders.
Okay.
Which excites me and gives me great joy. Now, your olives look like they're pretty bad. So you either need to breed up your spiders or is it defoliating the tree, Steve?
It is.
Oh.
It is. Leaves have started to fall off it.
You're going to have to spray.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so. And just white oil?
Sorry?
White oil?
Yeah, you can use a pest oil. Or a neem oil or pyrethrum, but you have to get on the backs of those leaves, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you've got grevilleas, which are a bit yellow.
Yeah, they're like 60 metres away from the olive tree. So
yeah,
I don't
think it's
that's
a different thing. No, that's a nutrient deficiency, Steve. You've got, so it's trace element deficiency. So you can get some trace elements. And put in the ground takes about 6 weeks to make a difference. Which grev is it, the one that you've taken the photo of? Because some of them don't do well in alkaline sandy soils, that's all.
Look, it's been there for probably 10 years. I forget the name of it, something called Moon, and something related to Moon, I think.
Yeah,
and it's like 3 metres tall and
it's got white flowers.
Wide. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that one's pretty good on alkaline soils. It might be just that it's old.
Yeah, okay, because it's only a third of the plant that's...
Okay, so the roots...
And they're right next to each other. So
okay,
it's,
so
like
the
it's
root
obvious that...
the root system, it's hit a pocket of limestone or something. So go and get trace elements, sprinkle that around the ground, water it in really well or mix it up in a watering can and drench it or spray it with a foliar trace spray.
Good luck with that, Steve. Thanks for calling in. It's Robin. Robin's in Shenton Park. Hi, Robin.
Hello. My first time on the radio, so I'm pretty excited.
Welcome, Robin.
Thank you. Now, I have a mandarin tree in my backyard, which is overshadowed by a number of other trees, and so it doesn't produce any mandarins. I've been here for 5 years. I had about three mandarins.
Oh,
I'm a bit sick of it.
Can bit disappointing.
It is indeed. May I transplant that to the front, which will get full sun?
Yep. How old is it and how long has it been in the ground?
Yeah.
I've
been here 5 years. I don't know.
Okay.
I've been here 5 years and it was here
so
when
So it was
got.
There when you got there. Give it a crack.
Yeah.
You'll need to prune it. So...
Yeah,
Yeah,
I've got a crew not organised who's going to take like
perfect. We'll do that as soon as you can.
Third off or something.
Yep. Okay. Take a third off. Yep. Move it.
What about soil prep for the front yard? I had a big South African plum, blah blah blah, that I lost in a storm.
Right.
So I've had the tree ground, the root ground, and so I'm going preparing the soil. What should I put in that?
Compost, manure. Yeah. A little bit of clay. Okay. Not too much, and some fertilizer for citrus.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Robin. Well
Thanks,
done.
Robin. Someone sent us a blood lily.
Ooh. It's very pretty.
Blood lilies called haemanthus, you know, meaning red blood. Now, she said, the person said, so haemanthus, look up blood lily people, because they're all coming out in flower now. So it's a blood red coloured flower with beautiful yellow stamens, and people call it a paintbrush flower.
Hi, Terry.
And so what happens is this flower emerges up on a stalk, no leaves. So the flower comes up first. It's a bit like, it's like the plant version of Vivaldi's Gloria, isn't it?
It is.
Because it emerges with nothing else around it in this glorious red, yellow, stamen-filled buttercup of a flower, and no leaves. So it has this really knobbly, ugly-looking bottom, and the flower dies down, and then the leaves come up as thick as an elephant's tongue.
Okay.
They're enormous. They're really wide and thick and deep green and fleshy, and they get to about 70 centimetres long.
Wow.
It's the most extraordinary bulb.
It is an extraordinary looking flower.
And now, if you want one of them, come to the garden show, because there's a special.
Oh,
Druids. It's in 2 weeks. It's on the.
You do that.
17th, 18th, and 19th of April. Now, there is a grower from the eastern states, from Melbourne, who is bringing a massive truck full of plants.
Same one that did last time. We loved him.
Yes. So he will have haemanthus bulbs and all sorts of stuff. You can get them here. But little treasures that you cannot get anywhere here unless you go
and
online.
And he has to put them in quarantine before he can come through.
Long time in quarantine.
Cutler Lines 3 on the 1300 221025 if you would like to ask Sabrina a question in the flesh, which Hess has done. Good morning, Hess.
Hello, Hess.
Oh, hello. Yes, liked your song.
Oh, good.
We have a sapote which had so much scale on it, we cut it off with a chainsaw, but it grew back again beautifully.
Yeah.
And now what can we wrap around the trunk to stop the ants getting up and spreading scale everywhere?
Okie dokie. So you need to do a bit of banding at the base.
Yes.
So now, what I'd suggest you do is before you put the Vaseline banding on, you need to make sure that the banding, which one of the best things is to get a big piece of poly pipe, get your recip saw, slice a little gap out of it, wrap that around the tree, and then you smear the outside of the poly pipe with either the vapor rub that you have for your cough or just Vaseline, and the ants get stuck in it.
Great.
So they can't go up. Yeah.
We'll try that. Because despite spraying and spraying and spraying, it just never works.
Yeah, yeah, because the ants will be, because they have that lovely little relationship between the two of them. It's like, I'll see you right and you see me right.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Hess.
A couple of lines free, 1300 221025. Someone else has sent through their photograph of their paintbrush plant.
Yeah.
What did you call it?
Haemanthus.
Haemanthus. Mm. And they're out in Manning. It's an absolutely stunning flower. And I see what you mean about that description of the leaf being like an elephant's tongue. Patrick in Swanview says, I've got approximately 70 large Xantharia on my block. other than fire, what would you suggest to clear all the dead grass and reveal the stems? Chainsaw?
No, you get you don't need a chainsaw. You get the hedge trimmers.
Oh.
And you just go up the trunk with a hedge trimmer.
There you go.
Hmm.
Easy
peasy.
Can recommend. Don't get your finger in the way and keep the extension cord out of the way as well. Sue in Denmark says, my rhododendron is looking sick. Thought it had spider mites, so I sprayed it with neem oil twice, but it's still not looking good. We're looking at a powdery leaf here.
Yeah, but it is spider mite. And the neem oil, I'd go for lime sulfur. Just a sulfur spray.
There you go. Carol is located in Mount Barker and has Kalamata olive trees that are 10 years old. Fruit start to form, but they disappear, and I've never been able to enjoy any olive harvest. Can you tell me why? Do they need bird netting, even though I've never seen birds?
No, it won't be birds, Carol. I don't know. It could be the variety of the olives, or you're pruning at the wrong time. Just don't prune for a year. No pruning. Up the amount of water and fertilize it. Like, you need to do that in spring, and then again at the beginning of autumn.
And Barbara's weighed in on the Xantharia situation and says safety goggles when trimming Xantharia.
Oh, yes.
Dylan is in Como. Hello, Dylan.
Hi. How's it going?
Yeah, great. Good, Dylan.
Good. So I'm moving into my first rental with a mate in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
In a lovely little garden down in Como. And I'm just thinking about growing some yuzu fruit. I'm going to be there for a couple of years.
Yep.
And I'll be
Yep.
I'm just wondering if you have any tips about that.
Yeah. Now, yuzu does very well in a pot. And in fact, I'd prefer to grow it in a pot. Now, the thing is you need a wide pot, Dylan. Don't think so much about the depth, although it will, you know, need to be 40 centimetres deep. But you want it around, you know, from the going across the pot, you want it 50 centimetres wide. Get good quality potting mix, but in that potting mix, so you only want 2/3 potting mix and 1/3 compost, and then do a layer of poo on top of that. You can use chicken, sheep, cow, whatever you want, and some slow-release fertiliser, and they do really well. Full sun, Dylan.
Awesome. That's great. Thank you so much.
And good on you for wanting to make your rental place a better place to live in and put your own edible plants
in. That's the way to do it, Dylan. Mm. Good luck at uni. Totally.
Thank you. I need it.
What are you studying?
Anthropology and sociology at Curtin.
Oh, well, I think that we should be part of your anthropological study.
Mm.
Yeah, the role of vegetable gardens and
bras.
And bras, Dylan.
Thank you, Dylan. Bye-bye. Cheng has called in. Hello, Cheng.
Oh, good morning, Amber. Good morning, Sabrina.
Good morning, Cheng.
Yes, I've got a question about dragon fruit.
Yeah?
I've got my dragon fruit growing in a pot, and over the last 2 months, I have consistently had 2 or 3 blooms at night, and I've been trying to get it to fruit.
Right.
But so I've tried the YouTube and gone about how to pollinate it with a brush and take off the pollen onto the stamen. It hasn't worked for like 7 times now. I've got 2 more coming, and I just thought, do you have any idea?
Do you do the pollinating yourself at night time though?
Yes.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes.
So my advice to you, Cheng, is to get another dragon fruit.
Depending
on the dragon fruit that you've got, they will always produce much better if you have 2 different dragon fruits.
Right.
For that cross-pollination.
I planted 2 in the pot and there were 2 different ones. I think one was white and one was red.
Oh, okay. Mm.
But I don't think the bloom has always come from the one.
Right.
At each time, like they are separately blooming.
Right. Okay, so they need to bloom at the same time.
Right.
So that you get that cross-pollination.
Okay.
So the other thing you can do is up the humidity So if the more humid you make it, the better it is to produce the pollen that you need.
Okay.
So overhead watering. How do I do that? Overhead watering. Put them on, you know, a tray with stones in it, and fill that tray up with water, so that there's that constant humidity there.
You could get a menopausal woman to come and sit next to it.
Yeah, just stand there, emanating heat zones.
Create my own weather system. Cheng, good luck with that. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Cheng.
Thank you.
The number is 1300 221025. Now, aphids are decimating my chives, says Greg in Cottesloe. Help!
Oh, well, your fingers. If they're in your chives, you just go with your fingers.
I'll slide them up.
And you slide your fingers up because it's chives. And that just squishes them all. Have a check before you do that, that there isn't ladybird larvae on there sucking those little aphids, sucking their juices out as they munch through the stem.
Oh.
People are sending pictures of their haemanthus, the white flowering haemanthus. And all the little bees and things foraging in there.
It's lovely. I do enjoy seeing photographs of people's gardens. How do we divide the bulb to create new plants, please? Oh, that's of the
haemanthus?
Plant. Yeah.
Okay, so they'd be chunked really close together. Now, remember that haemanthus prefer to be pot-bound anyway, but it's hard yakka because the bulbs are really tough and really hard. So you need to actually tip the whole unit out, regardless of how many bulbs you've got in there. Sometimes you will need the recip saw or a little tomahawk to smash through to try and separate them, because they grow together, they cling together really, really well.
Okay, gosh, I'm interested in getting one of these now.
Oh, I've got heaps.
Have you?
I'm about to divide mine up. They're so crowded in the pot.
Oh, I'll be up for that.
I will bring some in to you.
We had a hellebore chat at some point, didn't we?
Oh, there is time. Time to divide them up as well.
I'll have to get you over Darwin.
Yeah, you will.
Sarah is in Kalamunda. Hello, Sarah. What's going on with your dead thing?
Double grafted almond.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my lord.
Dead one.
Well, I hope it's not completely dead. Happy Easter to both of you girls.
Thank you. It's not looking good.
No, it's not. And it was looking fantastic until about 10 days ago.
Oh.
Gee whiz.
Hit something it doesn't like. So people can't see your photo. But basically all the ends and the edges of the leaves are all shriveled up.
Yep.
Now, can you see anything mining the leaf? Like, is there a leaf miner? Is there something eating the chlorophyll of the leaf or not?
No, I can see no critters at all.
So now, you know, we had that massive inundation of rain.
Yeah.
How much did you get up in the hills?
Well, the gauge nearest this said 84. The one out the front said 48. So
did this occur just after that inundation?
About the same time, yeah.
So I reckon what's happened is the roots have got waterlogged. Did you get hail at all?
No.
Okay. No. So it's going to be okay because the soil will start drying out now. So I think it's just it's got a bit of root rot. What I would do, Sarah, is go and get some anti-rot and spray the entire tree.
Okay, I've got some of that. Can I use the same stuff you use for dieback?
That's exactly the same stuff. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Sarah knows her onions.
She does.
And her almonds.
Yep.
Good luck, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah.
All right.
To the rescue. Thanks very much. Now, question on how do you spell the bulbs we were talking about, the haemanthus? Is it
so haemanthus.
Okay.
So you can get haemanthus, also called blood lily or paintbrush plant.
There you go. So many names for one little thing. Helen is in Fremantle, and Helen's just got one name, which I imagine is Helen.
Hello, Helen. She might have a middle name.
Hello.
It might be Helen Josephine.
Or Helen Back.
Oh, it could be.
Oh, Helen Back. I used to get Helen Back at school.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. Terrible. Or Helen
Helen Watermelon was the other one.
Oh, oh that's
Hell's,
quite
Hell's
nice.
Hell's Bells and Buckets of Blood. That's a good one.
Oh, I don't know. I think Hell. I think the second one was
we've gone your off best, topic.
Best option. What do you put in your bra, Helen?
Oh.
That's a little personal, Sabrina.
Well, you know, just when you've got something small and you've got
Helen
nowhere
might have
else
missed
to
it.
Put it.
Earlier in the show we were talking about the
what you
use.
Shove in your bra.
Yeah.
Oh, generally there's a credit card in there.
There we
yeah,
go.
See?
Not alone there.
Oh, so many. If only the people that handled the credit card in the shop knew that we all shoved our credit cards down our bras, they'd probably be
if
horrified.
Clothes designers gave us more pockets in our clothes. We
yes.
wouldn't have to do this.
See,
totally agree.
We've had chickens in the 1930s. Chickens on a train in a bra. We've had incubating eggs in Auntie Pat, yeah. who's never lived it down.
Baby kangaroos.
Back in the day, you could find either a packet of Winnie Red or a lighter in mine.
Yeah.
No,
oh,
not
lighters.
Winnie Red.
No, you wouldn't have been a Winnie girl.
A bit rough for
you
me.
Would have been a Dunhill lady.
Oh, only when I was feeling fancy. Helen, what's
anyway,
your question
Helen,
for Sab?
Back to you.
Yes, so I'm in Ferndale, not Fremantle, sorry, but
okay.
Not that it makes much
sorry.
Difference. Yep. I love to be in Fremantle. So we've got a lemon tree. It was very, very neglected when we first moved in. So now it's been 2 years. It's been getting regular water with the watering days.
Yep.
Well fertilised. It's got a good space around the trunk. And it looks gorgeous. It's glorious. But the fruit.
Oh.
I picked the fruit off. It went through a stage as well where it just dropped everything. It was dropping... preformed fruit and everything, but now it seems to be good. But I'll pick a fruit, cut it open, and they're rotting inside, like brown slime.
Ooh.
And then, so that was fruit after fruit, and then I started chopping them open, and they're growing inside. The seeds are sprouting
with
stems and leaves.
Yeah,
and
that's normal.
Inside the fruit.
Yeah. So not normal, but it's not that rare. Okay, so you need to give that tree a copper. Based spray for the brown rot, and you need to do that as soon as possible. We're running out of time. We've got like 50 seconds left.
You can do it.
So do that as soon as you can. Remove all the fruit. The reason that it's sprouting inside is because it thinks it's going to die and it's under enormous stress. So copper spray on it as soon as possible.
And that concludes April the 4th edition of Roots and Shoots with Sabrina Hahn and Amber Cunningham. I think it's fairly safe to say it was the brow edition, wasn't it?
I think it was.
It was the brow edition. Standing by, waiting for you in the control room are the Sporty Boys and their Sporty Balls. It's 10 o'clock.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.